The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a novel titled House of Living Stones. It's written by regular guest Katie Schuerman. House of Living Stones tells a story about the power of forgiveness in the life of a small Lutheran congregation. House of Living Stones costs $10.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. House of Living Stones. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, here's a story that's been busting out all over the place, even though it's really kind of a local story. It comes from Houston, Texas, which, of course, is a huge population center. And something that when I first saw it, I said, this has to be some sort of misunderstanding. This can't be true. And apparently it is. City's attorney in Houston, Texas, are subpoenaing sermons and other communications between pastors and their parishioners. I think five Houston area pastors are being subpoenaed this way. Those pastors who have expressed opposition to an equal rights ordinance. Now, there are two things here. Subpoenaing pastors' communication with their parishioners, and what is this equal rights ordinance that the pastors find objectionable? Joining us to talk about this story, Dr. Scott Murray. He is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and West Southwest Vice President for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Murray, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's a pleasure to be on with you again, Todd.
If your name or your congregation's name appeared on this subpoena list, how would you respond?
Well, I can't speak for the congregation, but I can speak for myself. I would say that I would print as many sermons as I could get off the hard drive of my computer, and I would print as many of my memorial moments as I could, as many newsletters and other communications to my congregation and the world, and tie them up in a nice red bow and walk them down to the city hall and hand them over to the city attorney and ask him if he would get the mayor to read them.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, because I think it's a great opportunity when the state tries to bully the church to get an opportunity to go before kings and princes and defend the Christian faith in public. It gives us an opportunity to get our message out, perhaps to get the message of the gospel in front of our mayor and the city council in a way that perhaps they've never experienced before in their lives. Quite often, of course, people that are opposed to the Christian religion are opposed to some kind of foreign form of Christianity, which is not really the biblical Christian revelation, but oftentimes a legalistically based kind of religion. First of all, I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm speaking here as a pastor, for us to get the message of Jesus Christ into the hands of people who might not otherwise see it.
Can you give us the context? First of all, explain to us what this Equal Rights Ordinance for Houston is or is proposed to be, and what's the nature of the opposition that has brought the focus of the city attorney or brought into certain pastors into the focus of the city attorney?
Sure. It all began with an ordinance from the city council mandating the public accommodations, especially of restrooms, and this is where the big rub is. I mean, there are other issues as well in the ordinance. That men who think they're women would be welcome to use women's restrooms, and women who think they're men would likewise be able to use the men's restrooms. This did pass in city council to the great chagrin of a lot of people living in the city of Houston. Then there was a petition drive to overturn the ordinance, and our city charter permits this to occur. We have a right to have a referendum on the ballot in November, and it takes something like almost 18,000 legitimate certifiable signatures to get it on the ballot. I'm told that there were 50,000 legitimate signatures certified by the Secretary of the City, and the city council and the mayor declined to put this referendum on the ballot. The result is that a citizen has sued the city that it would in fact fulfill its charter by placing this referendum on the ballot. And in the midst of that suit, this is when these pastors had their communication subpoenaed, the idea being, according to the public statements of the mayor, that, you know, if they're making political statements in their sermons are fair game for these kind of subpoenas. Now, of course, today, apparently later in the afternoon, the mayor has begun to walk back this talk because there is such a furor about it. People do not appreciate it when their pastor's communications are subpoenaed by an arm of the state, and where the state's power, authority, and legal power is used against the church in this way. So the mayor is starting to be a little bit concerned about the very negative public relations that she's getting and the city council is getting, not just in Houston, but all over the country and indeed over the world.
Is there any clear indication from your perspective what they would want to do with these communications? Let's say one of the pastors subpoenaed actually did mention, say, in a newsletter or some in some denominations, he might even use pulpit time for it, did mention something and did, you know, urge his congregation to act as in their vocation as citizens according to their consciences on this, or even said, this is wrong, we should oppose it. Is it clear what they intend to do with the communications?
Well, now that's a matter of opinion. In my opinion, there actually was no thought that they would use this communication to defend themselves against the lawsuit. I really think that it's purely sort of bullying tactics being levied against folks who are opposing the politicians and their views about sexuality. So it's using the power of the city, state power, in other words, is being used to coerce speech on the part of Christians. In other words, trying to get them to shut up about Christian sexual mores as delivered in a kind of scriptural context. And so it's not really a question of what are the politicians trying to do legally. I really think it purely has a political aim in silencing opposition. Because what will happen is the next person who wants to disagree with the politicians and come up with a potential referendum, they're concerned that they're going to end up in court having to fight the power of the state over just asking for a referendum again, which our city charter permits us to have. So it's got a chilling effect on First Amendment rights, not only political speech, which this may well be, but also religious speech. The mayor and city council have, in my opinion, really successfully gotten a twofer. They're attacking both political and religious speech all at once, and this is one of the reasons people are so upset about it.
Again, I'm going to kind of ask for your pastoral opinion. Are they overplaying their hand?
Well, I certainly think that's the way it looks now, especially that the mayor is starting to walk this back. Although you do wonder if it wasn't in the playbook always to do it exactly this way, that they may well have known that there would be something of a brouhaha about it. And they did it anyway with the recognition that they might walk it back. In the meantime, the damage is done. People are a little bit concerned now, well, if I speak up about this in public, will the city attorney be sending me a subpoena? What can I talk about in my pulpit? Am I afraid that I'll face the ire of the state and its power to coerce because it has unlimited funding? And so you end up with this horrifying irony that the people of Houston's taxes are being used to harass the people of Houston's pastors.
One question before we go to a break. Does this, speaking for yourself, does this kind of action or potential action on the part of the city officials, this abuse of their, really of their power to bully individual pastors, congregations, and the kind of generally scare everybody else, does that scare you or does it just make you bolder in speaking out on this? Because what you've written here, I mean, I imagine if the city attorney was reading what you've written here, you'd probably would be on that list of subpoenas.
Yeah, well, you just never know, Todd. It makes me angry that this kind of tactic is used against preachers. And not only because they're preachers, but also because they're citizens. To blithely blunder along with the power of the state in such a way that you try to crush opposition so that people cannot speak against your opinion is absolutely un-American and unconstitutional. So this is really getting into frightening territory. We shouldn't be surprised about this, by the way, Todd, because, again, we know that what's being taught in our schools today says that speech is not about truth and falsity. Speech is about having power over other people. And so the politicians are willing to use any words necessary to empower themselves and to take power away from the people. Whether it's true or false is irrelevant in their world of thought. They just simply want their own way.
Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. We're talking about the city attorneys in Houston subpoenaing sermons and other communication between pastors and their parishioners, especially with respect to a local ordinance called an equal rights ordinance. When we come back, is this persecution? And if it is, how should Christians, how should pastors, how should them together as congregations respond? We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, October the 15th, we're talking with Dr. Scott Murray, pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and West Southwest President, Vice President for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the city attorneys in Houston subpoenaing sermons and other communication between pastors and parishioners from local pastors opposed to an equal rights ordinance. I guess the question that kind of presses down at a time like this, and I don't know where the line gets crossed from annoyance, intolerance to persecution. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Murray?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great concern. I do think that this does have a little bit of the odor of persecution, simply because the mayor especially has been a great proponent of what we would think of as an aberrant form of sexuality, and she's been very aggressive about it. And I do wonder to what degree this isn't an attempt to punish people that in fact hold a biblical pattern of thought about sexuality and its meaning. So it's not an easy question to answer. You don't want to be paranoid, but as somebody said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So it's not an easy question to answer. It's certainly a legal annoyance, and it will be used by the legal power will be used by the politicians to get their own way. And if it also equally disturbs Christian verities, well, as far as they're concerned, perhaps this is a twofer. You get two benefits out of this bit of legal chicanery.
Does it concern you beyond just the boundaries of your city, of Houston, Texas? Do you see this, as you observe kind of the broader political landscape in the United States, a growing willingness on the part of lawmakers to kind of kick at the edges of religious freedom and its Siamese twin freedom, freedom of speech?
Well, I really think that this is very similar to the case that's going on in Wisconsin right now, to be honest with you. The so-called John Doe law there permitted the Milwaukee County prosecutor to begin discovery, including early morning raids on the homes of people who were supporting Governor Scott Walker's attempt to reduce, you know, the size of government in the state of Wisconsin, and so this, you know, this had a chilling effect on the political landscape in Wisconsin, where people who would normally have supported conservative causes found themselves unwilling to stick their necks out for fear that they would run afoul of prosecutors in Milwaukee County. And I think this is a kind of a similar page from the same playbook here in Houston, where perhaps there really wasn't a serious legal effort here, but just simply is using the coercive power of this state to make political points and to silence opposition, so you end up with this, again, chilling effect on political speech and perhaps even also religious speech. And it's a prostitution of our, it seems to me, this is my opinion, it's a prostitution of our fine legal system and its tradition having it used for political purposes rather than genuinely legal purposes in keeping a civil life among us peaceful and quiet.
Why is it important to maintain the distinction in cases like this between a citizen's right to express political opinions and a pastor's obligation to speak the truth of God's word at every opportunity?
There's all kinds of intersecting issues here. I mean, first of all, a pastor is a citizen, as I am. So there are two ways to answer the subpoenas. One is, as a pastor, to say, sure, you can have it all. I'll tie it up in a nice red bow for you and walk it down to City Hall. On the other hand, as a citizen, I would have the right to be quite offended at this subpoena and refuse categorically to follow it and to fight it in court, as in fact the five pastors have chosen to do, and they're getting support from the Alliance Defending Freedom folks for their legal support. Many of these questions, many of these issues that are now going to arise will be issues where there's an intersection of church and state, Caesar and God's, and sorting out those issues and what to do won't be easy. There's no facile solution or answer. Sometimes it is to bow down to the state as is required, and yet on the other hand, because we're in a constitutional form of government, you know, we can't allow unconstitutional things to be used against the church as citizens, to coerce their behavior.
With about a minute here, I often hear people say that Satan doesn't really care about God's law. He just wants to inhibit the proclamation of the gospel. This ordinance would seem to be more concerned about or bump up against God's law. Is Satan concerned to silence both the law and the gospel?
Well, they are certainly always together. You never mingle them. They have to be proclaimed as separate words of God, and yet they're always together. If the difference between sin and righteousness, according to the law, is blurred so that anything goes, then who in the world wants to be saved from what? So salvation presumes that there is such a thing as sin, and that there are some actions, words, and thoughts that are wrong in God's sight. The degree to which society can trump God and tell him that he has to shut up about his law makes it more and more difficult for the church then to proclaim a word of mercy and forgiveness. So absolution becomes ridiculous, where people are saying, but I haven't done anything wrong. So I think there's certainly that aspect at stake. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I do think we have to be much clearer about the fact that, you know, what the government says is moral or lawful may in fact not be lawful in the sight of God and may not be moral in the sight of God. And we have to make that clear to the people to whom we preach. And again, I think we find ourselves in a pre-Constantinian world where coziness with the government and culture and society is going out the window, and maybe under good effect. We'll have to be quite clear about who we are as the church in these days where such coercion is used against the church and her proclamation.
Dr. Scott Murray is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and Southwest Vice President for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Scott, thanks for being our guest.
It's our pleasure.
The New Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for oh golly, it's October, isn't it? It's a novel. It's called House of Living Stones. I know that you like the author because she's a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. Katie Schuerman, she has written this story of a small town church and the small town people who are there. It's a story of forgiveness. House of Living Stones can be had from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or feel free to browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death with Pastor Will Whedon, and we'll talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Christ in the Old Testament and the story of God choosing Cyrus to make Israel free. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.